be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourself that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach, nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding. Be ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to take a quick look at the readings. Then I want to make 3 points. One about believing and proof. The second about believing and critical thinking. And the third about believing and doubt. I want to end on a positive note. So, the first reading, we hear of the Jews who have been liberated from Pharaoh. They already saw some signs and wonders that made Pharaoh cave in, and Moses leads them to the edge of the Red Sea. So we read, "The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage." So one of the consequences of faith, if you have faith, there's a certain degree of courage. The real theme of this sermon is captured in the beginning of the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, a very famous chapter. And it says, "Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen." Evidence of things not seen. And then it gives the great example of Abraham, who at an advanced age, like me, don't laugh, it's true, goes to a land he does not know, is told that he and his wife, both of them are beyond childbearing age, will have a son, and you know the rest of the story. It's a rather extraordinary thing. Keep in mind that whether you're a fan of The Lord of the Rings or any of the great pieces of literature, Odysseus and so on, the journey is what's crucial. People are on a journey. They're trying to reach somewhere. And there's danger and there's peril. So I'm thinking that what I want to call this sermon is the journey of faith. And then the gospel, a little different theme, but very important. He says, "Do not be afraid any longer." Remember John Paul II used to say that. Don't be afraid. And talk about someone who had courage, someone who faced up to Russia, helped to liberate Poland. He was an extraordinary figure. But it says, travel light, gird your loins, the master's returned from a wedding. They don't know when he's returning. If somebody says, I'll be home at 11, and it's 11:30, you kind of worry. But weddings in those days could last a week, and depending on the supply of wine, which we read about in the Gospel of John, it could maybe last even longer. And so you don't know when the person's going to return, but the point is, be prepared. Be prepared. Okay, so being prepared for the journey, what is faith, and how should we be believing and understanding what it means to believe? So first of all, do you have any proof in matters of faith? Years ago, I was here on the Sunday after Easter. That's the Sunday we have the story of the Doubting Thomas. And I made the comment, and sometimes I make a comment that seems to be insightful, and I try to remember it. Most of the time, I don't think they're that insightful. But this time, I made this comment, and it stuck with me. I said, if it could be proven scientifically, which it couldn't be, but if it could be, that Jesus never rose bodily from the dead, I would join the Jewish religion tomorrow. And I'm serious, I would. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. Better to be a Jew. So, is there proof for faith? The answer is no. You say, oh, too bad. Well, wait a minute. We live in a day where science, for a period of time, not so much most recently, has had a high status, a high knowledge. If this is scientific, trust the science. You know all those debates have been having, trust the science, don't trust the science, vaccination, so on. And then you see scientists kind of changing the thing because they're examining data and it shifts and so on and so forth. Science works with what can be measured, what can be counted. And a really good experiment, a scientific experiment, I'm no expert in this, but I know this much. A good scientific experiment has to try to reduce all kinds of variables so it can make a generalization about a very precise point. Most of the questions we face in life, we can't reduce to that kind of thinking. For example, what's wise to hope for? Do you go to a science book? What is the purpose of my life? Science book? Well, these aren't important because you can't prove them. No. Notice the word at the beginning of the second reading. It was really good. I like this. It says, faith is the realization for what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Is there proof for faith? The answer is no. Is there evidence? You betcha. Is there evidence? What are the evidence? Our parents, people that have blessed us with faith, the witness of the martyrs, the cloud of witnesses that also speaks of that, a long history of people. Be careful about the media because you don't read about this and you don't hear about it. It's been documented clearly now ever since the pandemic, the combination of isolation and a blitz of the media constantly about tragedy, crisis, accidents, fiery. Oh, if you really spend a lot of time, especially teenagers, on social media, there's depression, especially with young women. It's been documented quite a bit. So the first thing we need to realize is that faith is not a matter of proof. It's deeper than that. Do any of you have, those of you who are married, any of you have proof that you did the right thing? I see this beautiful couple sitting here and they're laughing, nudging each other. Does that mean yes? She's still laughing. I guess not. I don't know. But you don't have proof for the deepest things. So what about the second thing? What about faith and thinking? A lot of theologians, like, theology is faith trying to understand in order to understand. It goes out of the Old Testament. Isaiah makes this statement. This is chapter 7. Listen to it. Unless you believe, you will not understand. Unless you believe, you will not understand. What does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like intellectual suicide? Think about it. Unless you believe, you won't understand. So I have to jump off the bridge before I can understand what it is. I don't get it. On the other hand, if you've never been in love and you pick up a poem about love, do you understand it? Aren't there certain things you have to enter into in order to understand them? I mean, you can have an intellectual understanding of something. I specialize in that kind of work. But much deeper is the question of your experience. And sometimes there are insights that come only when you've taken a step that's a risk. There's an awful lot today about critical thinking. Every educational institution, this is what we teach, critical. And critical thinking is important. We know that there's a lot of bad news, not just bad news, but wrong news, misinformation. People lie. The Sandy Hook crisis and this dude that's been claiming that it was all a hoax. It's evil. 42 million is not enough. Pardon me. I get really angry about this stuff. But there's all this kind of pollution of information out there. So critical thinking is important. It's really important. However, if you think that thinking critically is the most important way of thinking, you're not thinking critically. If you think that thinking critically is the most important way of thinking, you'd never get married. You'd never make any vows. Why do something so foolish that you can't be absolutely sure of? But then here's the other paradox. Can't you actually come to the point where you realize, let's say within a marriage, I'm certain this is what I should have done. I'm in it, and I'm grateful, and we remain committed. You can have certainty, but not proof. I don't want to make this more complex than it needs to be. So let me talk about believing and doubting. If you really believe, do you have no doubts? It's never worked for me. I have lots of doubts about lots of things. Has that destroyed my faith? No. I actually think it strengthened it. But there are ways of doubting that destroy. It's one thing for, I think, a married couple to say to each other, I doubt or I wonder whether we've really done the best we can in our marriage. And then you talk about it. That could be a positive moment. Could be a moment of growth. Have the courage to bring up a question that's a little dicey, you know? But then you could say, I doubt that we ever should have gotten married. This is the beginning. That's not a good doubt. That's not a good doubt. So I think it's very important that doubt, the experience of faith, sometimes is darkness. Sometimes you pray and you say, I don't know what I'm doing. It would be nice if you said, Lord, and you said, yes. I've never had that. I've never heard a voice. I've heard voices, but not the one I want to hear. I'm serious. So when it comes to the area of doubt, I ask you this common example, and keep in mind is Mother Teresa. 40 years of long periods of silence and prayer every morning before she began to take care of and bathe those who were dying, she felt what? The absence of God. Just in, hello, hello, hello. Are you there, there? Nothing. I frequently have that experience. Someone came to me yesterday and said, my prayer life stinks. I said, what are you talking about? What she went on to describe was that she has no feeling in it. I said, you enjoy gardening? She said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I love to garden. Well, garden. Let that be your prayer. I think we have to realize that the journey of faith often includes periods of lack of experience, lack of a presence. We live in a secular society. In Europe in 1500, most people just, it was the default position. You believed. It was done. Today, it's a real commitment. That's probably even better. We live in a secular society. We don't get a lot of affirmation to be believers. So we have to make the choice. But that choice has already been made by God. And there are a lot of reasons why we should not be afraid. You know the song, be not afraid, I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will be your God. Faith is a great journey. Faith is an adventure. Faith involves doubt, even strong faith. But let's pray that we continue in the faith because we have courage and we can continue to meet the challenges of our day and what we need to do. And to me, folks, that's good news.